Glad to have you here with me again, studying the book of Micah. Let us begin with our text for this afternoon, which is taken from Micah chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 5, verse 15. And let us read these responsively. I shall begin. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, Let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I'll make thine horn iron, and I'll make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace, when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian, when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be the midst of many people, as the dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. Together, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious God, as we study your word, teach us to do your will, O Father. Daily lead us in the paths of righteousness and obedience. Let us say with the Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Hear this our prayer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Global peace is not an attainable goal for people living in the world today. Some people believe that the people of the world can get rid of war. Peace, unfortunately, is one of the most elusive treasures known to man. Those people are not being realistic. They also don't understand the reasons we don't have peace. Christ is the only answer to global peace. No amount of human effort will ever solve the problem of conflict. It is impossible to solve that problem without the assistance of the Prince of Peace. That is the most important lesson mankind needs to learn. Micah describes Christ's return and the peace he will bring as he rules on earth in his kingdom. Micah predicted that the final fulfillment of his prophecy would take place in the last days, chapter 4, verse 1. The phrase denotes yet future time periods known as the tribulation and the millennium or kingdom. The tribulation will be a time of unprecedented war and destruction. Christians need not fear this period because prior to it, Christ will return in the clouds to take us to heaven, an event known as the rapture. At the close of the tribulation, Christ will return to the earth with us, defeat his enemies, and establish his rule. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to chapter 20, verse 6. He will be the king of a worldwide kingdom. Roman numeral 1. Characteristics of the kingdom. Characteristics of the kingdom. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 reads, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine, and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." During the kingdom, Mount Zion and its temple will be restored according to the specifications found in Ezekiel chapters 40 to 43. Christ will rule from the mount. Thus it will be exalted above all other hills. Micah chapter 4 verse 1. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 3. Micah provided an unmistakable contrast with the desolate condition of Jerusalem described in chapter 3 verse 12. People were thronged to the mount, chapter 4, verse 1, and then enter the temple, house of the God of Jacob, in verse 2. People were thronged to the mount and then enter the temple in order to listen to the Lord teach his ways. The king will judge the nations of the world and rebuke strong nations that are far from Israel, verse 3. Micah predicted the worldwide character of the kingdom, the unquestioned rule of the king, and the peaceful nature of the kingdom. The nations will no longer study the art of warfare, and war will give way to an agricultural boom as weapons are recycled into farming implements. The people of Israel will return to the land of their inheritance and recover ownership of their property. Everyone will sit under his own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. Verse 4. Could anyone truly say that he or she is ever completely safe? No one is ever safe in our world today. We live in a world that is a constant threat to our lives. What will make the world a completely safe place? The Lord will declare the world to be a secure place. Micah chapter 4 verse 4 says, "But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it." During the kingdom, the nations will walk in the Lord's paths, verse 2. Therefore, when Micah explained that the nations follow their own gods, verse 5, he must have been referring to the nations of his day. Micah's point was this: just as Assyria and Babylon followed their gods, Israel will finally follow her God during the kingdom. Not only do we have the characteristics of the kingdom, we have the Roman numeral 2, triumph of the kingdom. Triumph of the kingdom. This is in Micah chapter 4, verses 6 to 13. A judge called a young lad into his chambers. He announced to the boy that he had to make a decision as to which parent was to receive custody of him. The judge said, "I believe I shall give you to your mother." "Oh no," cried the boy, "mother, beat me." "Then," said the judge, "I shall give your father custody." "Oh no," said the boy, "father, beat me." "Then who shall get you?" the judge asked the boy. "Give me to the New York Mets," said the boy. "They never beat anyone." In other words, the New York Mets have never triumphed in their baseball games. But Christ will return in triumph to set up his kingdom. When Christ returns in triumph to set up his kingdom, he will bring deliverance to all those who are lame and take halting steps, to those who are outcasts, and to those who are afflicted. Verse 6. During the tribulation, Jewish people will be persecuted severely and driven out of their land. When Christ returns, he will restore the righteous remnant, including the lame, to its land. Verse 7. Israel will become a strong nation under its king, who will reign throughout the millennium and on into eternity. And Jerusalem will watch over the nations like a tower over a flock. Verse 8. The exaltation of Israel as the focal nation in the world is so hard to imagine now. Why is it so? Many nations and people groups have extreme hatred for Israel as a nation today. Before triumph, however, Israel will go through two national hardships without a king. Micah compared these adversities to the pain of a woman in labor, verse 9. Micah chapter 4, verses 10 to 11 reads, "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion." Two national hardships for Israel are mentioned in this passage. First, the nation will be taken into captivity by Babylon. Israel will go into exile to Babylonia, chapter 4, verse 10. This took place in 586 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and deported many to Babylonia. Eventually, the people would return from exile, and this took place during the reign of Cyrus the Persian, who allowed the Jews to return. Second, at the close of the yet future tribulation, the nations of the earth will gather against Jerusalem. Chapter 4, verse 11. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 2 to 3. They will try to defile the city, but they will not succeed because the Lord will fight against them. The nations will think that it is entirely of their own doing that they have gone against Zion. But in reality, it will also be part of God's plan. Micah chapter 4, verse 12. God will gather the nations as sheaves into the floor, chapter 4, verse 12, and Israel will thresh them, chapter 4, verse 13. We have the characteristics of the kingdom. We have the triumph of the kingdom. We have Roman numeral 3, King of the kingdom. King of the kingdom. This is in Micah chapter 5, verses 1 to 5a. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 is probably the most well-known verse of the whole book. It is a messianic prophecy concerning the first advent of Christ, and explains that Christ would come from the otherwise insignificant city of Bethlehem, Ephratah. This was the very same city from which David had come. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12. Even though Jesus was born into this world at Bethlehem, his activities or going forth had been from of old, from everlasting. In fact, Jesus was present with the Father in eternity past before the creation of the world. John chapter 1, verse 1. And he was active during the creation of the world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Israel will be given over to his enemies until Christ returns as king and sets up his kingdom. Micah chapter 5, verse 3. Micah likened defeat to labor pains, as he did in chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. And he repeated the promise of future restoration. Cross-reference with chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, and chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Now, Micah chapter 5, verses 4 to 5a reads, "And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace, when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces." Last week, We saw in Micah chapter 2 verse 12 how Micah predicted that God would shepherd the believing remnant of Israel. Micah continued the shepherd theme here by predicting that Christ will feed his people in his strength and majesty. Chapter 5 verse 4. The Assyrians of old were able only to approach the gate of Jerusalem. Chapter 1 verses 9 to 12. But during the future tribulation, nations will attack Jerusalem and will enter the city and will tread through the palaces. Chapter 5 verse 5. Thankfully, when Christ returns, he shall be the peace for Jerusalem by destroying the invaders. We have the characteristics of the kingdom. We have the triumph of the kingdom. We have the king of the kingdom. We have the Roman numeral 4, conquest of the kingdom. Conquest of the kingdom. This is chapter 5, verses 5b to 15. With the Lord's help, the Jewish people will have more than enough leadership to resist the tribulation invaders. Chapter 5, verse 5b. When Christ returns to set up his kingdom, his brethren, the Jews, will turn the tables on their enemies and will conquer them. Ironically, they will even conquer the land of Nimrod, which is a synonym for the land of Assyria. Micah chapter 5, verse 6. Israel's influence will extend over many people, since Christ's kingdom will be worldwide. Verse 7. The Jewish people will be like a refreshing shower or dew that comes according to God's timing, not man's timing. Israel will dominate the other nations just as a lion dominates all other beasts, especially sheep. Verse 8. No nation will be able to resist conquest by Israel, which is led to victory by its king. Verse 9. Israel's tremendous conquest will be unlike so many of the other victories in her past. Micah chapter 5 verses 10 to 15 reads, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And I will pluck out thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy city. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard." What did Israel trust in past battles? Horses and chariots, walled cities, sorcerers, soothsayers, idols. What is God's reaction to misplaced trust according to these verses? God will cut off and destroy all of what Israel trusted in the past. In the past, Israel relied on horses and chariots, but Christ will remove her military power from her. Chapter 5, verse 10. In the past, she relied on her walled cities and her fortresses, but Christ will remove her defenses from her. Chapter 5, verse 11. In the past, she relied on witchcraft and fortune-telling, but she will not do so during the millennium. Chapter 5, verse 12. In the past, she relied on her false gods. Chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. But in the millennium, Christ will execute judgment against any wayward nation. Chapter 5, verse 15. Characteristics of the kingdom. Triumph of the kingdom. King of the kingdom. And conquest of the kingdom. Under the triumph of the kingdom, the prophet leaps forward into the distant future where he sees many nations gathered against Zion. God will be Israel's secret defense, whereby He will equip Israel with iron horns and brass hooves. Chapter 4, verse 13. With such powerful offensive and defensive weapons that will repel their invaders. God will not only be Israel's secret defense. God is already Israel's secret defense today. The many wars Israel has won against her enemies since her independence in 1948 is evidence of this divine protection. I said during the series on Daniel, and I will say it again, five wars were fought. Five wars were fought. The War of Independence in 1948, the Sinai Campaign in 1956, the Six-Day War in 1967, the Yom Kippur War in 1973, and the Lebanese War from 1982 to 1985. How is it that the Arabs, like a platoon of soldiers charging on a teenage boy walking alone in the lane, were on the contrary thrown back one after the other, like in a kung fu drama? The secret of Israel's greatness as a nation is God. In view of the fact that God is already Israel's secret defense today, do you not know how momentous are the days in which we live? The rapture is so near that it may take place any day now. Are you ready to meet your Savior, Jesus Christ? What have you done for His kingdom? Let's pray.